Please do be seated. And we're going to turn to God's word now. And Evie is going to come and bring us our reading. Thank you, Evie.
The reading today is taken from 2 Peter, chapter 3, verses 11 to 18, found on page 1224 of the Church Bible. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. That day will bring about the destruction of the heavens by fire, and the elements will melt in the heat. But in keeping with his promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth where righteousness dwells. So then, dear friends, since you are looking forward to this, make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with him. Bear in mind that our Lord's patience means salvation, just as our dear brother Paul also wrote to you with the wisdom that God gave him. He writes the same way in all his letters, speaking in them of these matters. His letters contain some things that are hard to understand, which ignorant and unstable people distort, as they do the other scriptures, to their own destruction. Therefore, dear friends, since you have been forewarned, be on your guard so that you may not be carried away by the error of the lawless and fall from your secure position. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Evie. Well, please do keep your Bibles open there as we look at this final part of 2 Peter this morning. And let's pray, shall we, as we come to God's word. Father God, we thank you that you decided to put your words to us in books of the Bible. Thank you for the whole library that is the Bible. And we thank you for this book of 2 Peter and for the encouragements and the challenges over these last few weeks as we've been going through it. And we pray, Father, as we come to the end of the book today, we pray, Lord, that you would be speaking clearly into our hearts. Help us to hear what you have to say and change us to be more like Christ because of it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, the future impacts today, doesn't it? You know what I mean, some of us are going on holiday quite soon. It's an event in the future, but perhaps already you've got the cases out. The sun hat's going in, the swimming cozy. The future impacts right now. Or a number of our families at the moment, they've got some of them, their younger members, have got significant exams looming in the near future. Events in the future which impact on today. At least that's what the parents are hoping as their teenagers get on with some revision. And they will ramp up that hard work. Well, over the last few weeks in 2 Peter, we've seen the apostle time and time again reminding his readers, reminding us of the future. Please flick back with me into chapter 1 and verse 11 in 2 Peter. Just turn over the page. Chapter 1 and verse 11. And you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. A rich welcome for sons and daughters of the living God into God's eternal kingdom. Or the other side of the coin, chapter 2 and verse 1. Please just cast your eyes there. But there are also false prophets among the people. Just as there will be false teachers among you, they will secretly introduce destructive heresies, even denying the sovereign Lord who bought them, bringing swift destruction on themselves.
There's people who we've been hearing about, who have been telling lies about Jesus. And their eternal destination as it stands?
Destruction. And as the chapter goes on, it's very clear that it's primarily a future destruction. Yeah, I mean, we could drop into so many verses in this book, but just one more. And actually, where we left off last week, back to chapter 3 and verse 10, please. Chapter 3 and verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar, and the elements will be destroyed by fire. And the earth and everything done in it will be laid bare.
You know what I mean? It's as if Peter is writing, as he's writing these words down, and he's repeating it and repeating it and repeating it. It's as if God is shouting, get it into your thick skulls. Jesus is coming back. Eternity is coming. All right, I added the thick skulls bit there, didn't I? But I know I need it to be drilled into my head. My skull is pretty thick. And Peter's determination to remind them and have them think about Jesus' return, he just knows how much we need to hear it. Eternity is coming. But what does that mean for today?
Well, that's exactly what Peter goes on to say in chapter 3 and verse 11.
Verse 11. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be?
What sort of people ought you to be? How does this impact our daily lives? And Peter's already said a bunch of things along this, as we've been going through 2 Peter, but this is the big landing.
What sort of people ought you to be? We're going to divide today's passage using the big finish, which is in verses 17 and 18. And we looked at verses 17 and 18 right at the beginning. And we came into 2 Peter and a number of weeks ago. And chapter 17 is all about guarding the gospel. Chapter 17, verse 17, it's all about guarding the gospel. Verse 18 is all about growing in the gospel. So let's look at guarding the gospel first. And our first point this morning, be on your guard. Eternity is coming. And let's kick off with verse 15. Please look with me at chapter 3 and verse 15. Bear in mind that our Lord's patience means salvation. Just as our dear brother Paul also wrote to you with the wisdom that God gave him. He writes the same in all his letters, speaking in them of these matters. His letters contain some things that are hard to understand, which ignorant and unstable people distort, as they do the other scriptures, to their own destruction.
Here, Peter is referring to the other letters that the Apostle Paul has written. And did you notice what Peter called them? Scripture.
End of verse 16.
I mean, some people today, they want to say that the Bible is put together by people or by the church. But the apostles of Jesus, the people who worked with Jesus, who traveled around with Jesus, who ate and slept with him, who lived with him and saw what he taught, they knew that what had been written in these letters was reliable,
was God's word, that they were scripture. But what were the false teachers doing? Well, look halfway through verse 16 again. His letters contain some things which are hard to understand, which ignorant and unstable people distort, as they do the other scriptures to their own destruction.
The false teachers were distorting the Bible. It was happening then.
It happens today.
And let's be clear, this isn't sort of a misunderstanding of the Bible. I mean, we all misunderstand the Bible at times. I know I have.
I guess you have as well. And as Peter says, parts of it are hard to understand.
Amen to that, brother. Because parts of it are. But when you misunderstand something, you are open to correction, aren't you?
Instead, these dudes and dudessas, they were distorting Scripture. They knew and purposefully reinterpreted the Bible
for it to say what they wanted it to say. And so often, they do this in so-called sensible ways. I mean, they might say, yes, the Bible, it contains God's wisdom, but not every word of it. Or they might say, I mean, it was true for the culture that it was written in, but now, yeah, I mean, culture's moved on. We've got to be careful. We've got to work out the bits that are still relevant to us. It sounds polite. It might even, for some people, sound convincing, but Peter says, distorting. Taking a pick-and-mix attitude to the Bible only leaves one person in charge, and that's the person doing the picking and the mixing.
And this distortion, bit by bit, like a dripping tap, can be devastating. Please look at me at verse 17. Therefore, dear friends, since you have been forewarned, be on your guard so that you may not be carried away by the error of the lawless and fall from your secure position.
Be on your guard today. Because if not, you can be carted off from your secure position by the devastating lies of the false teaching. It's like a grisly Pied Piper telling lies and gathering a crowd around them and then people following them,
following them. All the way to where? End of verse 16? Destruction. To judgment. To hell. It's so easy, isn't it, to be swept along with a crowd. Especially a crowd that looks religious. I mean, it might even look caring in some way. And thoughtful. They might be amiable. But a crowd which is following false teaching is a crowd heading towards eternal separation from God and all his blessings. I mean, it's one of the lines that parents will end up saying to their teenagers at some point, isn't it? Be careful who you hang out with. Because whoever you hang out with, you're likely to become them bit by bit. Well, that can happen in so-called churches as well. Be on your guard. We've said before in this sermon series, and I'm going to say it again, because I think it just needs to be said, false teachers are real. As I said, I've not gone searching out for them, and I haven't done any thorough investigations. But from what I know of some churches in Grays, I'm not trying to say all of them, but some of them probably have got false teachers in. It's not some problem a million miles away. And yes, today, some false teachers will say outright, Jesus is not coming back. Or some false teachers might say, you know what I mean, those sins that the church have called sins, they're not really sins anymore. And that does happen. But the more widespread problem is this, where false teachers never talk about sin. Or false teachers never talk about the fact that Jesus is coming back and that there is going to be judgment. They are just silent on it. And that silence to genuine Christians should be deafening. Be on your guard. Now, interestingly, Peter doesn't say in this letter how we should interact with false teachers. He doesn't say what we should do with them, but I think it's pretty obvious that we shouldn't listen to them at the very basic level. Or if we find ourselves in a situation where we can't avoid them, where I've ended up doing sometimes when I've been forced to go to a service in the cathedral or something like that in the past, I sit there and, I know this is dangerous, and I sort of just close my ears if I can't get out. Elsewhere, God has plenty to say in what we should do in avoiding false teachers and things like that. But here, it's just be on your guard. Eternity is coming, eternity is at stake. And instead, focus on our second point. Growing in everyday godliness, eternity is coming. Please look with me again at verse 11. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed his coming. God's people, their lives should reflect God's character and who he is. Holy, godly. In fact, those words holy and godly in verse 11, they're actually in the plural in the Greek. So it's not just talking about being holy, it's lots of holies, it's lots of godlies. Holiness and godliness that should touch every part of our lives. Realities which flick back with me to chapter 1 and verse 5. I'm not going to read it, but just look, cast your eyes down there. What do we see? We see faith and goodness and knowledge and self-control and perseverance and godliness and mutual affection and love. And that list isn't meant to be complete. That's not trying to say every single characteristic. But do you notice one thing? Those things are not particularly religious, are they? They're characteristics that we can show in our everyday lives. I mean, showing self-control as you get the kids ready for school. That needs some self-control at times. It's about displaying goodness when that annoying neighbour asks for a favour. It's about trusting, having faith in Jesus when you just don't know how the situation is going to pan out. He's got it. It's about persevering in prayer even when God feels like a million miles off. It's about showing Christian love to others in our church family, especially those who are hugely different to you. It's about showing love to the most unlovable. And I don't know about you, but that's good news for me. But seriously, it's about everyday godliness. And that generally is a good thing, but God also knows, as we focus on our everyday godliness, it helps protect us from the false teaching. I mean, false teaching just doesn't sound wrong, it looks wrong, it feels wrong. The fruit of deception will become evident in some way. I remember this is quite a few years ago, I was sat in a clergy meeting, and they were discussing how churches were having less funerals than they used to have, and how much that was impacting their church finances, because they'd get quite a nice bit of money from the funerals, and how they needed more funerals to come their way. And I sat there thinking, some of these people sound like ambulance chasers. It just felt wrong. But here, actually, interestingly, Peter isn't pointing the finger at others. He's saying, you Christian, be on your guard. You Christian, grow in everyday godliness. Focus more there than on others. And this is no small thought that can just pass through our brain for 2 seconds at some point in the day. Verse 14, please look with me at verse 14. I'm looking at chapter 1. I was looking at chapter 1, verse 14, thinking, that doesn't look right. Chapter 3, verse 14. Dear friends, since you are looking forward to this, make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with him. Make every effort. We saw that back in chapter 1 and verse 5, didn't we, as well? As we go into various situations throughout our day and we're doing various tasks, are we sending up our prayers? God, help me to be more spotless for you as I go and do the shopping down at Morrison's. Oh God, help me to be more blameless for you as I go playing football with the lads tonight. Seriously, how many things do we do in life where we just do them and just think about whatever we're thinking about? I mean, the weather, dinner, TV that you might be looking forward to watching that evening, or things that might even more obviously drag us towards sin. Think. Pray. Make every effort. Now, please don't misunderstand me. I'm not trying to suggest here that you've got to send up at least 20-hour prayers a day asking for God to help you in your godliness, for you to be keeping in step with Peter here. God wisely doesn't put a number on these things. He does say, make every effort. It's about an attitude of our hearts. If me growing in godliness is that important to God, it should be that important to me. And to be honest, it should be more important than it often is to me. Verse 18 again. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and forever. Amen. See, growth fundamentally comes from knowing Jesus. The more you love somebody and know somebody, the more you want to live to please them. Not because you have to, but because you want to. And yes, Peter does say, make every effort to grow in godliness, but we should never divorce this from knowing and loving Jesus. I mean, if we do divorce that, if we divorce our desire to grow in godliness from knowing and loving Jesus and his grace shown to us, actually, we can be digging a different false teaching road, and that is the road of legalism. And actually, that is often a road which is more dangerous in churches where the Bible seems to be taken seriously. But back to the text and the major motivation for living an ordinary godly life. It's there in verse 12, but let me just start reading again from halfway through with verse 11. You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. Live holy and godly lives as you do what? As you look forward. Verse 13. When in keeping with his promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth where righteousness dwells. Keep looking forward. And I guess you've got it, but verse 14 as well. You'll guess what it's saying. So then, dear friends, since you are looking forward to this, make every effort to be found spotless and blameless and at peace with him. Looking forward to that day when we will be 100% righteous. Because we'll be in glory with heaven, and with these fallen bodies of ours will be no more. To the day when Jesus returns. To the day when Jesus brings in the new heavens and the new earth. You know what I mean? Remember, being with Jesus forever isn't sitting up in some cloud with a harp. It's a new heavens and a new earth. It's solid. It's real. And this is obviously massive, isn't it? Our eternal destiny. And yet, I get so caught up in the things of every day.
I mean, there are times, there are days when I spend more time thinking about the cleanliness of my teeth than I do about the glories of heaven. Now, notice I didn't say cleaning my teeth. I said thinking about having clean teeth. And there's nothing wrong with having clean teeth, but talk about getting my priorities wrong.
Now, yes, God, he wants us to be thinking and praying about lots of things in our days. He wants us to make good use of our time, working and enjoying the creation. It's part of his plan for our normal lives. It's good and proper to think of a whole raft of things in our life. But how little do I spend thinking about, Jesus, you're coming back. I'm going to be with you. Most of the time, it is embarrassingly little. And I'm pretty sure I'm not the only one. Look forward, look forward, look forward. Make every effort. Growing in everyday godliness. Well, our time in 2 Peter has nearly come to an end. There's so much that's been left unsaid. You might be sat there thinking, there's not enough being left unsaid. But that's a whole different matter, isn't it? But seriously, God wants us to be on our guard and to grow in godliness. Both are important to God. Both are often downplayed in the modern church. Yes, we come into God's family through real and heartfelt faith in Jesus. But real faith in Jesus will always touch our lives. We'll always be growing. Should always be on our guard. Let's pray. Father God, we pray that you'll do exactly that, that you would be helping us. That your spirit would be moving within us, that you would be changing us to be ever more on our guard. To be wanting, desiring, asking for your help, knowing we can't do it in our strength, to be growing in godliness, in those everyday things. Father, we so easily get distracted by lots of the other minute things in life. We get distracted by some of the big things in life. But then we lose the biggest thing of all, that we're going to be with Jesus forever. Father, we once again say, we ask, help us to keep that more in our minds, day by day. And as we do, help us to be longing to be growing, to be more like what we will one day be truly become, perfectly righteous in your eyes. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.